Picture a caffeine-fueled magazine writer, 33, career goals checked off, but happiness levels flatlined. That was me, landing in rural Denmark on a bleak January day because my husband, a serious-looking blonde who once auditioned for the Milky Bar Kid, accepted a job at LEGO headquarters. I'd reluctantly agreed to abandon our London life for this Danish experiment, armed with skepticism and a serious case of burnout. Here's the puzzle that hooked me. Denmark consistently ranks as the world's happiest country, despite punishing taxes, endless winter darkness, and shopping options that make a British village look like Manhattan. What were they doing that the rest of us had missed? I decided to spend an entire year living as Danishly as possible, investigating everything from their obsession with candles to their radical approach to work. What I discovered wasn't just research material, it became a blueprint for rethinking happiness itself. My Danish education began with hygge, pronounced hygge, an untranslatable word meaning more than cozy or comfortable. It represents intentional contentment, a deliberate creation of warmth and intimacy that Danes treat as essential. They burn 13 pounds of candles per person annually, more than any nation on earth, transforming winter evenings into sanctuaries with flickering golden light. Integration coach Pernille warned that getting hygge as a non-Dane would be quite a journey, since Danes hole up for winter and avoid small talk. Yet she rated her happiness 10 out of 10, explaining how Danish relationships, though fewer, run remarkably deep. Unlike Britain's pub-centered social life, Danish socializing happens in homes, shared meals, board games, conversation over homemade pastries. House hunting revealed the Danish aesthetic: minimalist white walls, bleached wooden floors, underfloor heating at tropical 22°C. Danes spend $1,193 annually on furniture, more per capita than anyone worldwide, investing in pieces they'll pass down generations, investments in everyday contentment, not status symbols. My freelance life shifted when my husband returned home at 2:30 p.m. on a Tuesday. In Denmark, the workday ends at 4 p.m., with Fridays wrapping up around 3 p.m. for Friday bars, informal workplace gatherings. This isn't laziness, but deliberate cultural choice, prioritizing life outside work. Danish workplace culture strengthens bonds through communal traditions. Morgenmad features colleagues sharing homemade pastries each morning. The 11:30 a.m. shared lunches are sacred, teams gathering for hot meals and conversation. Birthday celebrations include elaborate decorations with Danish flags, traditional songs, and cake brought by the birthday person. At LEGO headquarters, I witnessed the balance: hydraulic standing desks, creative meeting spaces, and teams creating departmental songs set to ABBA tunes. The cultural code against overworking is strictly enforced. Staying late signals poor time management, not dedication. Denmark's comprehensive welfare state, universal health care, subsidized childcare, generous parental leave enables this balance. Danish workers maintain full presence during working hours, achieving 23.5% more productivity per hour than the OECD average, despite working fewer hours. As my colleague Lars said, we work to live, not live to work. What's the point of success if you don't have time to enjoy it? With abundant free time in Denmark, my husband and I faced an unexpected challenge. What do you do when it's only 7 p.m. on Thursday? I discovered Danes have a remarkable solution: associations and clubs. Sociologist Bjarne Ibsen told me there are approximately 80,000 associations in Denmark, with 90% of Danes belonging to an average of 2.8 clubs each. These associations transcend class barriers. CEOs play football alongside cleaners, contributing to Denmark's culture of trust, unity, and equality. When I asked my neighbor about local activities, she casually rattled off Tai Chi, handball, hunting, fitness classes, and Zumba. When I admitted we hadn't joined anything yet, she looked at me as though I'd confessed to not flossing. Determined to integrate, I initiated Hobby Week, trying a different club each night. Volleyball and handball left me bruised. Danish language classes kept me in the dunce class. Yoga featured the instruction to feel your rainbow, and cooking club turned casual suppers into competitive six-hour affairs. The only success was joining a choir, where despite singing in a language I didn't understand and receiving bizarre directions like think like a fish, I enjoyed myself. I was no longer just my husband's wife, I was an alto in the big town's choir. Danish life follows a reassuring rhythm of year-round traditions. May brings confirmation season, teenagers in formal attire for church ceremonies, followed by elaborate family celebrations with gifts averaging $2,500 per child. Despite 4.4 million church members in a population of 5.5 million, only 28% believe in any afterlife. Church Minister Manu Sareen explained, "The church can just be there for you in Denmark. It's like our welfare system. It's there to catch you if you need it." The pattern continues. Midsummer bonfires, burning scarecrow witches, July's mass exodus for four-week holidays, November's J-Day when Tuborg's Christmas beer releases nationwide. Christmas is the pinnacle, with families retreating indoors for a full week of hygge. We embrace Danish customs, decorating our tree with real candles, complete with emergency water bucket, attempting the awkward dance and sing around the tree, preparing traditional feasts. These traditions mark time's passage and create connection opportunities that combat isolation during dark winter months. Denmark's extraordinary trust level sets it apart. 70% of Danes believe most people can be trusted, compared to just over a third in the rest of Europe. This permeates daily life. Parents leave babies in prams outside cafes, bicycles sit unlocked, and neighbors leave doors open on vacation for package deliveries. The Viking shared how his father moved all his money by simply calling Alan, their bank manager. No authorization forms needed. This creates remarkable efficiency. Denmark's e-health database gives citizens complete online access to medical records, allowing them to choose doctors and request prescriptions without bureaucratic hurdles. Denmark's tax system similarly relies on trust. Despite rates up to 51.7% plus 8% Social Security, compliance is remarkably high. Danes pay taxes with pleasure, tax expert Kim Splitsbull told me. They understand what they're getting in return. As happiness economist Christian Bjornskov confirmed, life is so much easier when you can trust people. Trust reduces stress, eliminates constant vigilance, and creates positive cycles where trust begets more trustworthy behavior. After a year of living Danishly, I discovered that happiness stems from prioritizing relationships, trust, security, and balance over material abundance. Despite initial skepticism about high taxes and Jantelag, I came to understand how these elements create a society where people feel secure and valued. Denmark isn't perfect. It struggles with integration and welfare sustainability. Yet its core principles offer valuable lessons. Trust more to reduce stress. Embrace hygge through cozy moments with loved ones. Use your body through cycling or physical activity. Beautify your environment with thoughtful design. Streamline your options. Too many choices create burden. Prioritize family time through regular rituals. Respect all work equally. Share more, from community resources to taking cake to neighbors. My year brought unexpected gifts, not just research findings, but a pregnancy after years of fertility struggles, new friendships, and deeper understanding of meaningful happiness. As the Danes say, Dea er ikke hvordan du har det, men hvordan du tar det. It's not how you are, but how you take it. In a world obsessed with productivity and status, Denmark offers a radical alternative. What if happiness comes not from having more, but from needing less? Not from standing out, but from belonging. Not from working harder, but from living better.